My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's time for Sam and Greg on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
One, two, three, four. Get up, get on up, stay on the scene, get on up, like a sex machine, get on up, get up, get on up, get up, get on up, stay on the scene, get on up, like a sex machine, get on up, get up.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9 The Game.com. It is Sam and Greg.
Wait a minute.
On this Saturday morning, we are in the news show, the third day of August.
Stay on the scene.
Good morning.
Check out morning.
And a good morning to everybody in Hampton this morning.
Okay.
Out there by the track.
Yep. Out there by AMS. Had a fun event there yesterday. Wasn't able to get back to it.
Fun event at Land Motor Speedway?
And ride along.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah.
We don't.
The time of day they were having, and I couldn't make it down there. But they were offering for media. You want to come out, and they're going to put you in there and let you.
Have you done that?
Oh, yeah. I did it with Cal Petty driving.
Oh, see, now you got me on that one. We have different experiences. I would love to have gone and done some laps with Cal Petty.
Yep.
I did mine in an SUV following Brandon Hutchinson, and it was my car.
That's okay.
I felt like the Clampets going down down Hollywood Boulevard, man, in the truck.
Right.
Yeah, but he let us go out there and do some laps, man. And I was like, of all cars to have here, I was afraid to go up to the top because I'd just roll over.
That would be good.
And I was going like 100, at least close to 100, but still, I did not feel comfortable. Anyway, we don't send people to Atlanta Motor Speedway's website enough to find out what they regularly have happening out there.
Yep, there's always something going on. Plus, the playoffs will start. Folks, NASCAR's on a little break right now for the Olympics. It will be back, and when they get back, there's a few races left before the playoff begins. The playoffs start at Atlanta Motor Speedway.
Anyway, how was your week?
Oh, man, all kind of stuff happened. Yeah, there was a good bit of that, man. Yeah. Man, you know, it seemed like every day you could set your watch by it and, you know, high winds. You warned me one night.
I gave you a heads up, man, and it came through like I was feeling like Dorothy a little bit, man. I was afraid to open the door seeing little short people out there.
Yeah, I mean it was blowing really, really hard for a while. So, but yeah, that was happening. And now we got the heat. It is like an oven.
And that's what they said. You know, the rain's going to go away for a while, but it is going to get toasty out there. We lost power for,
man,
24 hours, a little around, give or take, maybe 30. I don't know. We lost. If it's more than 15 minutes, it's inconvenient, right? And this is where the world we live in. If we get inconvenienced for more than 15 minutes, somebody call somebody. And but it, a tree fell down and knocked power lines out. But everybody who's listening right now have gone through that at some point. But they got it back. So shout out to those folks in West Cobb.
Yeah.
They're out there doing their work, man.
Getting it done. Getting it done.
But it's been an interesting sports week in that, you know, I talk about October being the best month as far as if you're an American sports fan, the amount of things that are on in October. From all four sports are playing. You got college going on. So this was one of those weeks sort of like that where you were bopping between Olympics. And the other thing was it's been playing sort of, I don't know what you call it, where you're trying to find that sport on that channel that the Olympics are being run on. And I have to apologize to you because one of the sports I have been searching for to watch again, and I know I could just look at the schedule, but where's the fun in that?
You're just going to stumble up on it,
I'm just
right?
going to trip and fall into it. Team handball.
Okay.
You put me on that a couple weeks ago and said, yep. watch out for team handball, yep. man. Yep. And I watched it and I went, damn, this. I found myself watching it for like 5 straight minutes without thinking about changing the channel.
Yeah.
Which made me stay.
Yeah.
And I went, damn, I got to apologize to Sam.
Well, no, oh, no.
Yeah, no, man, it was good. Because
you know, that's the thing about, and the thing you watch these sports and people getting drawn into them and the way they're presented now, differently than maybe they were presented in the past, you wonder, we knew that what happened in 96. You know, after the 96 Olympics, the WNBA became a reality.
Right.
We'd heard about it, it was possibly coming. And you wonder, like, what other sport will this Olympics possibly spawn that people will want to follow and have a league? Not saying that people are going to make millions of dollars playing it, but will people watch?
Yeah, like, will people like watch? Curling a few Olympics ago, where everybody was talking about that.
It became a thing, right? Will it be water polo? Would it be, you know, handball? Or
badminton.
Badminton.
That was something crazy, too, I was watching.
Because you know what I found out has its own channel now? It's squash.
Oh, that would be on the Frasier channel.
No, there's a channel for squash,
I believe you.
So, I mean, if there's a channel for squash, why not badminton?
Well, because the people who play squash got resources that they can build a channel with.
Yeah,
that's why.
Yeah, they do. But, I mean, that's the thing. What sport do you see that could break out? The thing that I hope really takes hold from this is track. I think you have some characters that people want to follow. They've heard about them. They watched them during the Olympic trials, and now they watch them go through this. Michael Johnson, as we talked with Gail Devers, you know, a week ago, that Michael Johnson wants to give it a go and really try to have a professional track league in the States where these athletes can stay in the States and still make money rather than have to go to Europe.
So what would that look like, though?
Here, to me, if you could find stadiums that seat between 15 to 20,000. I'm not saying get a big old stadium because what you want to do is create a desire to get the ticket.
Okay.
Right? So you get stadiums, you fill up for that first year, get stadiums to seat 20,000 people.
Indoor or outdoor?
Oh, I mean, this is an outdoor event.
Okay, I'm just asking because you're going to have rain delays and all that stuff.
Well, you're going to have that's track.
Okay,
you know,
just
same
got
thing
you.
With thing with football.
We're also talking about the people coming to see these events.
Absolutely. But they know that when they come to football games, when they come in,
they've been around 100 years, not track. I'm just saying.
The track has been around longer than that.
No, but not doing what you're talking about, though. This is a new venture that this sport is doing, attempting
here. The world best runs outside. They don't run inside and overseas.
I absolutely agree with you. You know, I'm just saying.
There's got to be something overseas. And do something also that attracts some folks in on the relay.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations to USA, by the way.
Absolutely. Say one relay spot for a team of NFL guys. Not saying they're representing a certain team, but save in each,
okay,
in each city. In each city you go to.
Tariq Hill's going to go up against this 100-meter winner.
We don't individually, but I mean, have a relay set up for, you know, four NFL guys and have them be a part of it. That draws some folk in from another element that maybe hadn't before, and you're going to fill up your 20,000-seat stadium. And then you make me expand to go bigger. The stadiums they race in Europe are just like football stadiums here. People show up for track. It's a deal over there all the time. Why can't it be a deal here? And you got some characters, you know, in both in men's and women's that people are going to follow. They follow for a time. They've gotten to know. Now would be maybe a good time to roll it out.
And okay, I mean, listen,
because here's what you got to get. If you get the shoe people on deal, everybody's going to get paid. You get the shoe folks because the shoe folks are driving it, right? If you're running, you're wearing Adidas. If you're running, wearing Puma. If you're running, wearing Nike. Them are the folks who are going. That's where your money's coming from. But they got to know when you get there that some folks are going to show up. They ain't going to have their runners come in to run this thing. If nobody's there, they're going to send them overseas like they always do. That's the thing he's going to have to deal with. But out of these Olympics, I think this is could be a really good time to launch a pro track league in the States.
All right.
I think that'd be the best time to launch, like after the Olympics.
Well, see, that's the thing. You got to hit it right away.
You have to hit it when people then, are still on the consciousness of track and field.
Then my question is, on the calendar do you have this league operate?
Well, it's going to have to be spring.
Spring.
Okay, well,
spring.
Then let me ask you this. Do we know of spring not having races over in Europe where they go make their money? There's already events in Europe. We know that these track athletes, that's where they make their money.
Right.
And so
right,
whatever
right.
is in place already, whatever America conjures up as far as a league here, they better have the resources in place to say, over in Europe, I could make, you know, 50 grand if I win this event or whatever. You better have that equal amount here. Or whatever they're getting paid over there, there has to be something in place to keep them on the soil instead of wanting to go over there. Yeah.
Well, you find them 16 to 19-year-olds that ain't quite ready to go overseas, and you make them the next thing.
We take a page, yes, but we take a page from what Brittany Griner went through. And we don't want to have to keep sending U.S. athletes over there to make that money for these particular sports. Now, WNBA is on the uptick, so those players won't have to worry about that in a year or so. But as what you're talking about and other sports.
And there's something else that will happen with WNBA, and we're going to get into this with Megan, too, that's going to happen, that I think once if the money comes along in the States, because that's why a lot of international players stay home.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You talk about you don't see them, you know, why come over here and take a pay cut? We get the money going with WNBA now, and the WNBA rosters are going to start looking more like NBA rosters.
The money, the publicity,
the other reason is the NILs too that are in play here. Because see what you just said about European money, there's no reason that Messi should have come here to MLS, but he did it for a bigger reason.
Oh yeah,
he did it for the long game and the opportunities NIL wise that are spawned from being in America versus, you know, in other places around the world. So, yeah, this is a spider web putting it together. But you got a point there, man. So between Michael Johnson and Sam Crenshaw, you give them a call, 404-726-0929. See if y'all can work this out. We got to do our story of the week before we get out of here and get yelled at for staying too long. Go ahead, Noel.
It's time for Sam and Greg's story of the week.
Could be sports.
Grapefruit League activity.
Could be news.
Could be entertainment.
This is our first time on the VMAs.
It could be, well, anything.
You know what I'm saying?
Sam and Greg's story of the week on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Here's Sam and Greg.
We got to flip a coin to see who goes first. Or you want to take it? Or
I can go one. And this is one that was beside a story that's been a big story, I think, this week for sports, which was Simone Biles and what she was able to accomplish. But the big story, she's obviously the big story. We were expecting that from her, the Olympics. She and Katie Ledecky.
I was just going to say, throw her in there, too.
You know, but the story I would point is the person that was also on that victory stand with Simone Biles is Suni Lee.
Yes.
Not one, but battled two kidney diseases.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know if she was going to compete again at all. And she practically had to, like, start all over again. And to get to the point that she would go to the Olympics, be a part of this team that would win gold, and then get a bronze individually, to me, that's one of the best stories of the week, other than the fact that went for a swim in that river and everybody survived.
Oh, geez.
Everybody's skin didn't fall off.
Yeah. I'd rather swim in the Chicago River on St. Patrick's Day than go in that thing. Mine was, well, there's two of them. You wouldn't mention that. I think the cool thing is there's people who go into the Olympics in their particular sport with a nickname. Because, you know, people just know. But when you're given one at the Olympics, and it's the gymnast from the the men's gymnastics team, Clark Kent.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He takes the glasses off and then just goes and gets a 10 and then comes and puts the glasses back on. That's kind of cool. But that's not my story. My story is these two touch home for me, two Chicagoans or athletes who played in Chicago that are going into the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Steve McMichael, Mongo. His wife will be there at the ceremonies today at noon. And you know how I feel about a certain head coach who misuses athletes, or at least I believe he does, his talent. I just... But he didn't... He just kind of... He didn't keep him from the Hall of Fame. And I'm talking about Lovie Smith, but yeah. Devin Hester made it in. Devin despite Hester. Lovie Smith moving him around and make it. Was it him who made him a wide receiver?
Or tried
to. You got one untouchable weapon. Why you won't mess with that? Anyway, Devin Hester, Steve McMichael, their careers and them going into the Hall of Fame today as Bears. So I just wanted to mention that. So those are that's my story of the week. Listen, you mentioned Megan. She will be joining us. Megan L. Hall, USA Today for the win. We'll be talking about Olympics and women's USA women's basketball team, WNBA, and whatever else is on her mind. She's going to join us. We have got Coach coming up in the 7 o'clock hour as we continue our countdown to Corky.
Yep, Coach Eric Gott from North Gwinnett High School. They will be playing in Mercedes-Benz Stadium against McEachern in a game that you will hear on Sports Radio 92.9. The game we're going to catch up with Coach at 7 o'clock
and 9 o'clock straight up. I want to thank you, Raven Johnson. Will be joining us,
Hollywood Raven.
Just calling her now,
Raven. Yep, young lady out of Westlake High School on this national championship team with South Carolina. We'll ask her a little bit about her coach. By Dawn Staley.
Okay.
And she got NIL deal with Dunkin' Donuts.
which takes us into a conversation how we started this show today, by the way. And Noel. I've corrupt Noel now. I've corrupted Sam for a while, but now Noel has been corrupt, and we all got to go do sit-ups later on.
Yeah, we do.
And then Joe Patrick's going to bring his multiple hats in here, talking Falcons, talking Atlanta United. That's coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. We're getting started on this Saturday morning, third day of August. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And take us.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey. Yeah.
With you in the Odyssey app.
I got something that'll sure enough set your stuff on fire. You refuse to put anything before your pride.
Watch Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Saturday morning. I'm sorry. I felt like I was in the car. And I was just enjoying Chicago.
All right.
I forgot I was doing a radio show.
Live and direct from Chicago.
Yeah. It's, by the way, don't ever walk up to her and say her name more than once.
Okay.
Because everybody goes up and does, you know, they say it multiple times. And then she's, if she had a purse, she'd smack you with it. She's been hearing that for 35 years. She says, we'll come over and go, Chicago, Chicago. She goes, once is enough, folks. And you can just say, and you can just say hello. You ain't got to say my name.
Yeah, that's what people have heard.
A curse of having a one of the all-time great songs. Anyway, Sam and Greg on this this Saturday morning, we're going to talk Olympics coming up before the end of this hour.
Man, because they've got stuff, all kind of stuff's going on right now. We know what time of day it is there. So we got track happening. We got
well, do they? Do you think? Do you think everybody knows what time it is there?
It's a 6-hour difference.
Okay, so there you go. Now they know
between here and
there. They're having lunch.
Lunches are early afternoon. We got tennis going on. We got all kind of stuff happening. So we keeping an eye on that, but also keeping an eye on our Braves, man, who are winning, and the people who are in front of them
are losing.
Are losing, which is ticklish to me.
Ticklish.
Yeah, it's just ticklish. You know what though? But the Dodgers are in a losing streak right now. You got division leaders in the American League playing. You got Cleveland playing Baltimore, and Cleveland is handling the Orioles. I mean, it's a long season, Greg. Yeah. It's a long season, and in the course of a season, you're going to see, you know, ebbs and flows, and you know, if all that's gone wrong with this Braves team and things that we think are wrong with them, here we are, and you had a part of the schedule when you should be able to make some moves. Whereas the Phillies are in a bumpy part of the schedule for them, which we've been waiting for them to get to a bumpy part of their schedule, and that's kind of happening for them. But 5-3 Braves win last night. You know, Spencer Schwellenbach goes 7 innings. You want to get a long start. He got surrendered 6 hits, struck out 10. Impressive finish at home, and they get the win. And Jorge Soler is back with his team and back at the top of the batting order. And I made a contribution last night.
Soler through the right side. Kelnick's coming home. This ball game is tied at 3.
So there you go. Thanks to the folks over at Bally's for that. And, you know, Soler's at the top of the order. You move Kelnick down to the 8th spot. You're doing all kind of things. You got Riley batting 2nd. You just, you know. Snickers is doing.
He's playing,
what he has to do, right? You know, he's doing what he has to do.
But the best thing that he's doing is letting us believe that he has applied patience to this season.
Yeah,
we don't see any urgency. We don't see any, you know,
no panic,
no crazy moves, anything like that. And you know that he's going to shuffle the deck a number of different times. Can I go back to something that you were talking about, though?
Yeah, go ahead.
When you were talking about the Phillies, and then you also mentioned the Dodgers. Man, we got to take a second and just. Everybody say a little prayer for Freddie Freeman and his family.
Yeah,
he put the news out this past week. Him and his wife were dealing. Said it was one of the hardest and scariest days of their lives this past week. 3-year-old son Max diagnosed with a severe case of, and I can't pronounce this syndrome, Guillain-Barré, something like that syndrome. Rare in kids, but it attacks nerves, causing muscle weakness.
Yeah, and Freddie just took a step away from the team.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to go and see what was up.
And the thing about it is, we know so much about, was it Charlie,
mm-hmm.
his oldest son? So he got 3 boys right now. And I don't know a dude who, you know, beside you, who walks through life where nobody has anything bad to say about him.
I don't know about that.
Dad, that's you. That's you. No, ain't nobody got nothing bad to say about Freddie Freeman as a player, as a person.
Well, definitely not as a person or player, no.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's rare. On the stages he's been on.
And he's always going to get that in this town. He will always.
Oh, yeah, he ain't got to pay for no meal here.
No, he'll always get that here.
So wanted to mention that. Anyway, these Braves.
Yeah.
So they're at it again. And this is the team that makes you just snarl up the corner of your lip because you just, you know, you figure Miami comes in here and they always got this Braves team's number.
Yep. Not this year, though.
No.
These guys are flat this year. They are nothing.
Okay.
They're not. I mean, you know, they're terrible. So the Braves doing what they should do. How about Arcia last night? He's been swinging a hot bat. He had a big night. That was great to see that from him. So the contributions are coming all over. The defense is a concern for me, though, you know, still right now because you got some people who plugged in some holes,
yeah.
See how they do. And that's kind of what we're dealing with now. So, you know, I want to see things better defensively. But to get that win and play against this team the way they did, to get that kind of start, I think that was big for this team. And we reduced the lead to 5 games.
Tell me if this is fair.
Yeah.
We talk about veteran presence in the locker room, on the bench, right? We talk about that all the time and the importance of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes in different forms. And I have said, when you mentioned defense, where I believe one of the missing voices in people a part of this team is Ron Washington and what he did in working with the infielders all of last year. And that voice of his, you know, that voice on the bench in the locker room, when Ron Washington spoke, he was E.F. Hutton, right? Everybody stopped and they listened. I think that voice being gone and another voice that has been in and out throughout this season, that's Ozzie Albies.
Yeah, well, just his presence in general.
That's what I mean.
The voice and his place in the lineup. Like I said, him being the number two guy in the lineup, to me, is always, he always gives you a chance because he's going to put the ball out there somewhere between the lines. And when he's away, you feel that.
That's what I'm saying. What's going on right now. And you talk about these errors taking place, and he's a guy, is like, I don't know what kind of leader Acuña is when he's healthy and been on the team. He just seems to go about doing his business, and you get the leadership that way from him. But I think Ozzie is that dude who walks up to players and say, listen, and talks to them in a way and helps them out. And so I feel like those two voices this year, throughout this year, when we've shook our head about various aspects of this team and how they play, and they were done without, you know, without even second thought. I'm having a hard time forming sentences these last few weeks.
Why?
I don't know why. My mind is just elsewhere. Maybe it's all this food and oil brought up here. I'm looking to take a bite into that. You know, we got no water around this joint.
That's why I always bring me a bottle. But
I want to go get some water to enjoy this nice thing. Anyway, I just feel like those are little components. Because we talk about when a team wins, I don't care the sport, there are little intangibles, there are little things that happen throughout the course of the year, ball bouncing certain ways, things that just happen, decisions, calls going your way, all that stuff plays into you getting, when you get that chip at the end of the year. And when it doesn't happen, you can look back and look at those little things that were working before that aren't there. And I just think those two, the presence of those two not being consistent with this team. Speaking of Ron Washington, as we praise him and what he did for this Braves team, I think he's having second thoughts about going out there and sitting in that cabin.
I think he knew what was happening. He knew what was
happening. Well, not after the news of yesterday.
And even with that, though, you know, that team never makes the postseason. He went there knowing the chances of them being highly successful were not that good, and they just went from bad to worse.
Mike Trout out for the season.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about in the Angels. So
where are we on him?
Well, we have different analogies.
He's this incredible star when healthy, wonderful things. And even with that.
And got paid for it.
He got paid for it.
Been doing it.
But very little postseason play, which is something we kind of like to measure our great players by. You know, you're playing late in the season. You're playing in October. If you're this great guy that means so much to your team. And it hadn't been the case for him. And now he's at a part of his career where some injuries are creeping in. Where are we at on him?
A cautionary tale. But see, it's not anything he did really to himself. It's just that he's going to be that athlete that's remembered.
You gave an analogy before we came on.
I called him. I said he was the Grant Hill of Major League Baseball. An all-time great, but yet still never fulfilled all of his potential because of injury. Now, Grant, and when I brought that up, and I said, well, Hall of Famer, too. And you guys immediately said that's mainly because of what he did at college as opposed to what he did in the NBA, though he was a great player in the NBA when he was healthy. But Mike Trout, you're right. There are a handful of guys who you just say you wish they had better health when they played. Or when we go back to some athletes who didn't have the medicine and the technology, medical technology to bring them back. You know, you can start with Gale Sayers, who only played four. Yeah. Terrell Davis. You talk about those guys, man, if they can fix ACLs the way they did.
Or Shannon Sharp.
Or Shannon Sharp.
I mean,
Sterling Sharp.
Sterling Sharp.
Hey, Noel.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
I never got the hype around Mike Trout. I just never got the hype.
He's 5'2" player. He was.
I get that, but like the Angels never went anywhere, and it just always seemed to be, yay, Mike Trout, and there's a highlight, and they're out the playoffs, and that, I just never got the hype. What was the hype?
Well, it was
and
the
why
player.
Sit there.
You know who she sounds
in
like?
That market.
You know who you sound like?
Who?
The commissioner. That was what's his face said, Rob Manfred, about Mike Trout, and talking about the great players and the sport overall, and it wasn't as popular as basketball, and we're losing the youth. And he actually in a diatribe went after the Angels for not promoting one of the great players.
And that's exactly how I feel about it. I remember when he did that too. And that's exactly how I feel about it. I feel like a lot of my thing with Mike Trout is not even Mike Trout. He is a great player when he's on the field. But who wanted to watch the Anaheim Angels? Who? Who willingly was turning their TV or looking, oh, I got to watch them Angels? I mean, like, you would catch the Mike Trout highlights or the Shohei Ohtani highlights, but, you know, Shohei did the one thing that Mike Trout didn't do, which was get out.
Right.
Get out.
I got your answer.
Well, not just that, though. You were the other team in the market.
That's the other thing,
that too.
That, too.
Get
and
out.
They changed their name, and that still didn't help. Everything that you said, if somebody tapped into this conversation, you could have been talking about Tim Duncan.
You're not wrong, but they finally, you know, figured it out with the championships, and you have Popovich there, which kind of like
that actually makes it worse.
Stay.
That makes it worse because you still with all the championships, he never was any kind of popular person. He never did the marketing.
I think that had more to do with Tim than anything.
Thank you, and that's why Mike Trout isn't what you're talking.
Okay, fair. And in that regard, that's fair. Like if that's where you want, if that's the market you want to be in, and that's the player you want to be. Like I had a little bit about that with Jeff Teague in the mid. 2010s or whatever.
But you know what, though, to be fair to Tim Duncan, he's in a smaller market. He was in San Antonio.
He was.
And the other thing about this, the only game in town that went, would made him kind of like the Trailblazers and made him like the Magic. But at the same time, Trout is in a major market.
And he's that's the weird part.
That's the other part.
I think it's because he's the stepchild in the major market. That's kind of like, because that team is like the stepchild of that market. Like, he's not a stepchild superstar, right? But the team in that market is like secondary.
I'll give you another one. And this is head shaking to us. And we talked about it. But again, it's like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That other person could be Eli Manning. Eli Manning in New York, the brother of Peyton, and he shunned marketing like it was kryptonite.
He ain't got no problem with it now.
Now he don't, but when he was playing,
which was crazy. He was like, I don't want to go to San Diego, but also get these cameras out of my face in New York. It's just so weird. I mean, it's not. You understand the best of both worlds he was trying to get, but
it's just fun. There are those players for whatever they're enigmas in the sport, and they could have taken advantage. One would have been their health if they had better health, but also the market they played in. And it's just people are just hooked up different.
Yeah, because you had a Marshawn Lynch that kind of got forced into better marketing. Like he stumbled upon it.
He went
from the guy that wouldn't talk to that being a thing.
Exactly.
Like you had whole commercials with him not saying nothing because that was the shtick.
Yeah, well, you know, he's just here so you don't get fined.
So you don't get fined.
Yeah.
I love the whole superstar.
I love that Super Bowl 100. Thing they did where Goodell's up there, hey, we get ready to start the 100 season. They're all the all-time greats are in the room, and Marshawn is the one trying to get a piece of that cake, and it starts to fumble, and they all just go, hey, you got to see that. I haven't seen it in a minute, but I saw it last week, and it was like, that's worth a watch again. And the people that we lost that are in there. And then there was a video that I saw this past week where, now think about this, Mean Joe Green at some kind of event, NFL event, Mean Joe Green rolled up on Lawrence Taylor.
Wow. Yeah.
And Lawrence Taylor did like a double take, and then he realized who it was, and the two of them got up, and then you think about them two careers.
That's great stuff.
Who was more influential to the NFL of those two? Meaning their lasting impact on the league, if you had to pick one of those two.
And also, you always think about being here in Atlanta, the Coca-Cola commercial, which is iconic.
That's right.
Joe Green.
Joe, unfortunately, I think the only reason I give this to Lawrence Taylor because he had all-time greats around him, too. And Lawrence Taylor reinvented that linebacker position. I mean,
He had Harry Carson. He had some folks.
He had Harry Carson, but he didn't have the steel curtain around him.
No.
So, anyway, this has been, listen, we're having a good morning. You having fun so far?
We're off to a good start.
And I haven't taken a bite of Noel's present. I'm getting into that next as we talk Olympics. It is Sam and Greg getting started on this. It's getting started. It's a little 6 o'clock hour Saturday morning. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg. Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And take us with you on the Odyssey app. Today, Sam.
Yes.
1996 Olympics here in Atlanta. Andre Agassi won the men's singles gold.
You're bringing a tear to my eye.
Am I really? Well, I can't see it.
You know why?
Why is that?
Because the place where he accomplished it no longer exists.
The tennis venue for the 96 Olympics were where?
On the backside of Stone Mountain Park.
Oh, okay.
And when they built it, originally, if you went out Highway 78, you could see it from Highway 78.
Okay.
But in the years afterwards,
Noel
trees grew up.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Yeah. Oh, I was going with Sam. Yeah, you could see it from 78.
Okay.
Yeah.
But in years afterwards, trees grew up and blocked that view, so people never knew it was there. There are a lot of people, and if you go on out 78 through Snellville, Loganville, a lot of those communities had their own tennis courts when they built those communities after 96. A lot of those neighborhoods, and if you're playing, you're paying your HOA for your mm-hmm. tennis courts in your neighborhood, are you going to go down and play tennis at this facility? Even though it was part of the Olympics, you had that beautiful stadium. You had a number one court that they would add more seats to. I saw Arantxa Sánchez play out there.
Arantxa? Vicario?
Yep. Arantxa Sánchez Vicario played. And I got a chance to watch her match out there that time. And the reasons why it happened was so, you know, convoluted to me. It's like the people with Stone Mountain Park didn't want to be responsible for a gate that somebody had to keep in order for traffic to come through. It was just ridiculous, man. But anyway, this place, this fantastic facility, just sat there and just went to waste. And several years ago, they just brought a bulldozer and knocked the whole thing down.
Really?
Yep.
I didn't realize they got rid of it because I knew that most of the tennis stuff was over there at Stone Mountain. It's kind of like that in-between area between like the Cab and Snellville, kind of where it is. Not really that far from the farmer's market.
Right. But it's what was it? Right in that area. What's that? Park Place, Park Avenue, Park, whatever you come right there.
Yeah, something like it.
Right in that area. And that's where it was. And, yeah. So mentioning Andre Agassi winning his goal. And they tried to have some events out there. They had a WTA event, which as the ATP event left this past week after final match. They had a five-hour rain delay. They finished like 12:30 in the morning. They played once, and I think Venus and Serena actually played there. They played Davis Cup there once.
Uh-huh.
Not forgetting who was on the U.S. team at that time that they played. But was Sampras on the team? But to me, they never had a consistent use for it. They tried to have a tennis academy there. But like I said, practically every community that was built after that time going out through Loganville, those communities kind of had their own sets of tennis courts. And I remember some, and we won't get into the deal with some people who tried to save the place because they heard of a backdoor deal that some governing fathers were going to have. that was a whole different story.
Life in a big city.
You get too deep in a city.
No, man, I love this. I love hearing this side because people have no idea the things it takes to keep a big city running.
Yeah.
Especially around here, because they keep a lot of this hush-hush around here.
Oh, so you have to.
It's real hard to kind of uncover some of this, you know, stuff around here.
It's like the lot. If folks knew, if the community knew, they would just, it was that line from Men in Black. He says, a person is smart, but people are stupid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, the lot.
I love hearing that sort of stuff. When you talk about the Olympics in the 96 one, speaking of Grant Hill, he was talking about being on that basketball team and how he was telling a story how nobody wanted to be the top scorer on that team. He says, because if you go back and look at it, I think it was the 96 one, but yeah, because Karl Malone, he says everybody was getting tested after the game. And if you were the top scorer, you got tested. And it delayed everybody leaving. He says, except there was one person who got tested after every game, and it was Karl Malone. And then nobody else wanted to get be the high scorer because then you would get tested along with Karl Malone. And it just delayed everything. And he was telling a pretty good story about that Olympics. I forgot a lot of the stuff that happened during that time here in town and the stories that I had, you know, in the back of my mind that I completely forgot about.
Yeah. But what you know, we've seen this week, we saw the swimming with Katie Ledecky. We mentioned earlier about Simone Biles and the success with gymnastics. But some other things that have jumped out, some disappointing things have happened this week, like Coco Gauff going out and
grinding tennis. About that,
and,
Sam.
And we'll get into that some with Karen Pestana tomorrow morning. But, you know, everyone was looking and hoping, you know, that she would be able to come through and make it to the final. Although the top seed, Iga Świątek, she didn't make it to the final, women's final either. We're going to get the men's final that we kind of hope for. And that's going to be
an
amazing match. Well, no, it's the match because, you know, either way, Novak Djokovic will get the best medal he's ever received. If he doesn't win, he'll get a silver.
Mm-hmm.
But he wants that gold because he knows this is his last chance for it. And, you know, a farewell for Andy Murray. Possible a farewell for Rafael Nadal. I think he enjoyed playing the doubles, but he was Alcaraz, somebody who doesn't normally play doubles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he played Djokovic this week, and it wasn't much of a match. But you know, that's also been part of the backdrop of this week.
The people who are exiting and ending their careers at these games are one of those that would make a really good montage. I mean, we're talking about Diana Taurasi too. Yeah. We're talking about some of the all time greats that will no longer be doing what they do. And it's worthy.
Or at least not. They may continue to play, but will they be around for another 4 years?
No, they won't. Yeah, this will be their last Olympics. Yeah. Like Simone won't be. So, you know, you talk about the ones. Let me ask you this. Do we see Naomi Osaka again in an Olympics?
Yeah, possibly. I think so.
I think possibly is a part of that. I think we can.
You know, it's the thing. I mean, she's still making the steps in her comeback. It'll be cool to see what she does in the hard court season, what she does in Canada, how she plays in Cincinnati, and obviously in New York. That will tell us more about where she is as far as her comeback
I believe
goes.
She's going to be an Ash Barty in 2 years tops, and she's going to be a great mama.
But I think that could be her why, and I think that's the thing that we saw that with Serena, we saw that with Taylor Townsend. Who got a doubles championship at Wimbledon recently.
I want to ask you, and I guess we're going to talk to Karen about this, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I want to ask you your thoughts on the conversation that has already started, fair or not fair, surrounding Coco Gauff and her being labeled diva-like and spoiled brat-like and McEnroe-like and the way she has outwardly or openly thrown borderline tantrums.
Yeah.
And what is now being said about her. And I hate it. It's early in her career.
In two situations, she's been spot on. She's been correct.
Yeah, you're right.
But the thing of it is, when do you let it go and move on? And I think that's the thing where the work has to go. Yeah, she's called some officials out in some chairs, and even the people in the official chair would agree with her. They're not going to change their call. And, you know, that's the difference in a John McEnroe. John McEnroe could do that. He'd channel it the right way, and he'd go back out in the court and kick your butt.
Right.
She's got to find a way to channel that, if that's what she's going to do.
She's not Serena at the – whatever that last match was where she got into it and, you know – she's not Serena. That's
well, no,
my point.
It's Serena, not that.
One of the last. Go ahead.
I don't think she has to be. And I'm not trying to make her be Serena. I'm not going to put that on her.
But we saw Serena do. I'm saying one of her last few matches on that big stage, she had a beef with the ump. Okay? But she's Serena.
Yeah.
Having that beef with the ump as opposed to somebody who's in there, you know, coming off the heels of her first major and still early in her career.
Yeah. Like
well,
I said,
I think that's some of it too, guys. It's not so much the it is because she's early in her career, but kind of because she's younger, because she was right in what she asserted, but it was the way it looked, right? The way it came off, right? Like it came off kind of.
It's Dave Chappelle, when keeping it real goes wrong.
Yeah, well, because she wouldn't let up, and two, it was kind of like teenagey, like the way it felt
at the end when she got breath. I remember when and then she started crying and losing it like that.
You can see it on her, because like even when I got to that match, right, like I cut it on right when that happened, right when she had hit the ball back and didn't get to where it was supposed to go to, and she immediately beelined to the side, and I was like, okay, let's see how this is gonna go. And it went on so long that I kind of just like closed the laptop because I was getting uncomfortable watching it.
Exactly,
right?
exactly. And there are players who have issues with certain venues or certain locations, you know, forever. Dale Earnhardt couldn't win the Daytona 500. He's right. Dale Earnhardt. He finally won it. Andre Agassi chose not to go to Wimbledon for years. It was a dress code thing with him. But people have these beefs with these places for whatever reason. And when she said, this always happens to me in Paris. Well, you know, and that, you know what I mean, Sam?
Well, and that's what I meant by it felt kind of like teenage-y at a point. Like, yeah. Like, okay,
this
well,
always happens
it's kind of like that thing that we say with like so many other male leagues where you see these younger players and you're like, okay, they're going to have to mature a little bit. Exactly. Like there's still a hurdle for them to get through. And that's just one more hurdle for Coco Gauff to overcome, in my opinion. I feel like, you know, 40 years from now, she'll be 24 years old. She'll be in a different place mentally where she can have that argument, cut it short, and then get back and go do what it is she needs to do. And I think that's the piece that she's missing because she's still stuck on the it's always me, it's always here. Like, right. You got to figure out how to get past that part.
I got you. I want to ask you two a question because we've been talking about this in the same vein in two different sports. Who looked worse in this and that same type of arena this year on the same level stage? Coco Gauff, Luka Doncic.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Luka. Luka's older. He's been through this longer. It's for Luka.
And with Luka's
more
a team.
Of an ego thing.
If he does
right.
that, it impacts more people than just him.
Right.
Yeah, you know, what she's doing, is that's an individual thing. That's a
which is why I think it's going to be easier for her to overcome because she just has to overcome herself, right, versus Luka having to get past that to push a whole team forward. Because the team's going to go whatever way Luka goes. Like, you're the star of the team, whether, you know, you want to have that type of responsibility or not. Mm-hmm. I feel like the Mavs go however he goes. And the Hawks, too, for that matter. Like, you know, once Trey spends too much time arguing in a certain call, the Hawks go a certain way. So it's just something that comes with mature of age. But I do give Coco more of a pass being 20 than what Luka Doncic is.
Mm-hmm.
And him winning, you know, championships in Europe. And he should be a little more past this, in my opinion.
Either of y'all watched any basketball this week? What do y'all think about what you've seen?
Steve Kerr is masterfully working this team. And they're ascending and they're gelling. And that's what I'm seeing. And I wasn't even in that discussion about Jason Tatum not playing that first game. He brought him in when he needed to bring him in. If you go back and look at the Dream Team video from the original one, I'm going to this for a reason. I don't want to keep going back to those guys, but my point for saying this is you could see how those all-time greats were used in certain games. It was this guy when they went up against what's his name? Croatian.
Tony Kukoc.
It was more, you know, Scottie Pippen. Michael jumped in that second half, but it was more Scottie Pippen defense. So they wanted some defensive stops for certain games. They had other matchups where they knew that the offense was going to have to be in there, so they kept the bigger scorers in those matchups. I think that what Steve Kerr is doing is the story here for this one.
Yeah, they come on at 11:15 today playing Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
The women play Germany tomorrow at
11:15. Yeah.
Now, that's the question.
Well, Captain America. You know, America with the apostrophe over the A?
Yeah.
Because Asia doing whatever she want, however she want, getting to what she want, whatever spot. Her and Breonna Stewart are going insane, and Diana Taurasi is enjoying her last ride.
Yep. It's been really fun to see. The three-on-three kind of got me a little concerned.
Yeah.
I expected them to struggle, and I'm going to talk more about that at 7:40.
That's what I was going to say.
But they're roaring back behind Ryan Howard.
What she gave us a little bit here is the in-depth insights you will get in Noel's World.
Yes.
Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour.
Yes.
Along with our coach, who will be joining us as we continue the countdown to Corky Kell.
Countdown to Corky Kell. Coach Eric Godfrey is going to join us. Coming up next, as we proceed our countdown to Corky Kell's matchup coming up with McEachern at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It is Sam and Greg with Noel, other side of the glass, on this Saturday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 92.9thegame.com. Save me some of that.
Nah, you got your own. Yeah. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and take us with you on the Odyssey app. Today, Sam.
Yes.
1996 Olympics here in Atlanta. Andre Agassi won the men's singles gold.
You're bringing a tear to my eye.
Am I really? Well,
you
I
know
can't
why?
See it.
You know why?
Why is that?
Because the place where he accomplished it no longer exists.
The tennis venue for the 96 Olympics
Stone
were where?
On the backside of Stone Mountain Park.
Oh, okay.
And when they built it originally, if you went out Highway 78, you could see it from Highway 78.
Okay.
But in the years afterwards,
Noel
trees grew up.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Yeah. Oh, I was growing up with Sam. Yeah, you could see it from 78.
Okay.
Yeah.
But in years afterwards, trees grew up and blocked that view, so people never knew it was there. There are a lot of people, and if you go on out 78 through Snellville, Loganville, a lot of those communities had their own tennis courts when they built those communities after 96. A lot of those neighborhoods, and if you're playing, you're paying your HOA for your mm-hmm. tennis courts in your neighborhood, are you going to go down and play tennis at this facility? Even though it was part of the Olympics, you had that beautiful stadium. You had a number one court that they would add more seats to. I saw Arantxa Sanchez play out there.
Arantxa Vicario.
Yep, Arantxa Sanchez Vicario played. And I got a chance to watch her match out there that time. And the reasons why it happened was so, you know, convoluted to me. It's like the people with Stone Mountain Park didn't want to be responsible for a gate that somebody had to keep in order for traffic to come through. It was just ridiculous, man. But anyway, this place, this fantastic facility, just sat there and just went to waste. And several years ago, they just brought a bulldozer and knocked the whole thing down.
Really?
Yep.
I didn't realize they got rid of it because I knew that most of the tennis stuff was over there at Stone Mountain. It's kind of like that in-between area between like the Cab and Snellville, kind of where it is. Not really that far from the farmer's market.
Right. But it's what was it? Right in that area. What's that? Park Place, Park Avenue, Park, whatever you come right there.
Yeah, something like it.
Right in that area. And that's where it was. And, yeah. So mentioning Andre Agassi winning his goal. And they tried to have some events out there. They had a WTA event, which as the ATP event left this past week after final match. They had a five-hour rain delay. They finished like 12:30 in the morning. They played once, and I think Venus and Serena actually played there. They played Davis Cup there once.
Uh-huh.
Not forgetting who was on the U.S. team at that time that they played. But was Sampras on the team? But to me, they never had a consistent use for it. They tried to have a tennis academy there. But like I said, practically every community that was built after that time going out through Loganville, those communities kind of had their own sets of tennis courts. And so I remember some, and we won't get into the deal with some people who tried to save the place because they heard of a backdoor deal that some governing fathers were going to have. that was a whole different story.
Life in a big city.
You get too deep in a city.
No, man, I love this. I love hearing this, because people have no idea the things it takes to keep a big city running.
Yeah.
Especially around here. They keep a lot of this hush-hush around here.
Oh, so you have to.
It's real hard to kind of uncover some of this, you know, stuff around here.
It's like the lot. If folks knew, if the community knew, they would just, it was that line from Men in Black. He says, a person is smart, but people are stupid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, the lot.
I love hearing that sort of stuff. When you talk about the Olympics in the 96 one, speaking of Grant Hill, he was talking about being on that basketball team and how he was telling a story how nobody wanted to be the top scorer on that team. He says, because if you go back and look at it, I think it was the 96 one, but yeah, because Karl Malone, he says everybody was getting tested after the game. And if you were the top scorer, you got tested.
You got tested.
And it delayed everybody leaving. He says, except there was one person who got tested after every game, and it was Karl Malone. And then nobody else wanted to get be the high scorer, because then you would get tested along with Karl Malone. And it just delayed everything. And he was telling a pretty good story about that Olympics. I forgot a lot of the stuff that happened during that time here in town, and the stories that I had, you know, in the back of my mind that I completely forgot about.
Yeah. But we've seen this week, we saw the swimming with Katie Ledecky. We mentioned earlier about Simone Biles and the success with gymnastics. But some other things that have jumped out, some disappointing things have happened this week, like Coco Gauff going out and
grinding tennis. About that,
and,
Sam.
And we'll get into that some with Karen Pestana tomorrow morning. But, you know, everyone was looking and hoping, you know, that she would be able to come through and make it to the final. Although the top seed, Iga Świątek, she didn't make it to the final, women's final either. We're going to get the men's final that we kind of hope for. And that's going to be
an
amazing match. Well, no, it's the match because, you know, either way, Novak Djokovic will get the best medal he's ever received. If he doesn't win, he'll get a silver.
Mm-hmm.
But he wants that goal because he knows this is his last chance for it. And, you know, a farewell for Andy Murray. Possible a farewell for Rafael Nadal. I think he enjoyed playing the doubles, but he was Alcaraz, somebody who doesn't normally play doubles. Mm-hmm. You know, he played Djokovic this week, and it wasn't much of a match. But, you know, that's also been part of the backdrop of this week.
The people who are exiting and ending their careers at these games are one of those that would make a really good montage. I mean, we're talking about Diana Taurasi, too. Yeah. We're talking about some of the all-time greats that will no longer be doing what they do, and it's worthy.
Or at least not they may continue to play, but will they be around for another 4 years?
No, they won't. Yeah, this will be their last Olympics. Yeah. Like Simone won't be. So, you know, you talk about the ones. Let me ask you this. Do we see Naomi Osaka again in an Olympics?
Yeah, possibly. I think so.
I think possibly is a part of that. I think I'm gonna
hang my head up to, because the thing. I mean, she's still making the steps in her comeback. It'll be cool to see what she does in the hard court season, what she does in Canada, how she plays in Cincinnati, and obviously in New York. That will tell us more about where she is as far as her comeback.
I believe she's going to be an Ash Barty. Yep. in 2 years tops, and she's going to be a great mama.
But I think that could be her why. And I think that's the thing that we saw that with Serena, we saw that with Taylor Townsend, who got a doubles championship at Wimbledon recently.
I want to ask you, and I guess we're going to talk to Karen about this, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I want to ask you your thoughts on the conversation that has already started, fair or not fair, surrounding Coco Gauff and her being labeled diva-like. And spoiled brat like and McEnroe like and the way she has outwardly or openly thrown borderline tantrums,
yeah,
and what is now being said about her, and I hate it. Early in her career.
In two situations, she's been spot on. She's been correct.
Yeah, you're right.
But the thing of it is, when do you let it go and move on? And I think that's the thing where the work has to go. Yeah, she's called some officials out in some chairs, and even the people in the official chair would agree with her. They're not going to change their call. And, you know, that's the difference in a John McEnroe. John McEnroe could do that. He'd channel it the right way, and he'd go back out in the court and kick your butt.
Right.
She's got to find a way to channel that, if that's what she's going to do.
She's not Serena at the – whatever that last match was where she got into it and, you know – she's not Serena. That's
my
point.
I don't think she has to be, and I'm not trying to make her be Serena. I'm not going to put that on her.
But we saw Serena do. I'm saying one of her last few matches on that big stage, she had a beef with the ump. Okay, but she's Serena.
Yeah,
having that beef with the ump as opposed to somebody who's in there, you know, coming off the heels of her first major and still early in her career.
Yeah. Like
well,
I said,
I think that's some of it too, guys. It's not so much that it is because she's early in her career, but kind of because she's younger, because she was right in what she asserted, but it was the way it looked, right? The way it came off, right? Like it came off kind of.
It's Dave Chappelle, when keeping it real goes wrong.
Yeah, well, because she wouldn't let up, and two, it was kind of like teenagey, like the way it felt
at the end when she got like breath. I remember when she and then she started crying and losing it like that.
You can see it on her, because like even when I got to that match, right, like I cut it on right when that happened, right when she had hit the ball back and didn't get to where it was supposed to go to, and she immediately beelined to the side, and I was like, okay, let's see how this is gonna go. And it went on so long that I kind of just like closed the laptop because I was getting uncomfortable watching it.
Exactly. And there are players who have issues with certain venues or certain locations. You know, forever Dale Earnhardt couldn't win the Daytona 500. He's right. Dale Earnhardt. He finally won it. Andre Agassi chose not to go to Wimbledon for years. It was a dress code thing with him, but people have these beefs with these places for whatever reason. And when she said, "This always happens to me in Paris." Well, you know, you know what I mean, Sam?
Well, and that's what I meant by it felt kind of like teenagey at a point. It's kind of like that thing that we say with like so many other male leagues where you see these younger players and you're like, okay, they're going to have to mature a little bit. Exactly. Like there's still a hurdle for them to get through. And that's just one more hurdle for Coco Gauff to overcome, in my opinion. I feel like, you know, 40 years from now, she'll be 24 years old. She'll be in a different place mentally where she can have that argument, cut it short, and then get back and go do what it is she needs to do. And I think that's the piece that she's missing, because she's still stuck on the it's always me, it's always here. Like, right. We got to figure out how to get get past that part.
I got you. I want to ask you two a question because we've been talking about this in the same vein in two different sports. Who looked worse in this and that same type of arena this year on the same level stage? Coco Gauff, Luka Doncic.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Luka. Luka's older. He's been through this longer. It's for Luka.
And with Luka's more a team.
An ego thing.
If he does that, it impacts more people than just him.
Right.
Yeah, you know, what she's doing, is that's an individual thing. That's a
which is why I think it's going to be easier for her to overcome, because she just has to overcome herself, right, versus Luka having to get past that to push a whole team forward. Because the team's going to go whatever way Luka goes. Like, you're the star of the team, whether, you know, you want to have that type of responsibility or not. Mm-hmm. I feel like the Mavs go however he goes. And the Hawks, too, for that matter. Like, you know, once Trey spends too much time arguing in a certain call, the Hawks go a certain way. So it's just something that comes with mature of age. But I do give Coco more of a pass being 20 than what Luka Doncic is.
Mm-hmm.
And him winning, you know, championships in Europe. And he should be a little more past this, in my opinion.
Either of y'all watched any basketball this week? What do y'all think about what you've seen?
Steve Kerr is masterfully working this team. And they're ascending and they're gelling. And that's what I'm seeing. And I wasn't even in that discussion about Jason Tatum not playing that first game. He brought him in when he needed to bring him in. If you go back and look at the Dream Team video from the original one, I'm going to this for a reason. I don't want to keep going back to those guys, but my point for saying this is you could see how those all-time greats were used in certain games. It was this guy when they went up against what's his name? Croatian.
Tony Kukoc.
It was more, you know, Scottie Pippen. Michael jumped in that second half, but it was more Scottie Pippen defense. So they wanted some defensive stops for certain games. They had other matchups where they knew that the offense was going to have to be in there, so they kept the bigger scorers in those matchups. I think that what Steve Kerr is doing is the story here for this one.
Yeah, they come on at 11:15 today playing Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
The women play Germany tomorrow at 11:15.
Yeah.
Now, that's the question.
Well, Captain America. You know, America with the apostrophe over the A.
Yeah.
Because Asia doing whatever she want, however she want, getting to what she want, whatever spot. Her and Breonna Stewart are going insane, and Diana Taurasi is enjoying her last ride.
Yep. It's been really fun to see. The three-on-three kind of got me a little concerned.
Yeah.
I expected them to struggle, and I'm going to talk more about that at 7:40.
That's what I was going to say.
But they roaring back behind Ryan Howard.
What she gave us a little bit here is the in-depth insights you will get in Noel's World.
Yes.
Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour.
Yes.
Along with our coach, who will be joining us as we continue the countdown to Corky Kell.
Countdown to Corky Kell. Coach Eric Godfrey is going to join us. Coming up next, as we proceed our countdown to Corky Kell's matchup coming up with McEachern at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It is Sam and Greg with Noel, other side of the glass, on this Saturday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 92.9thegame.com. Save me some of that.
Nah, you got your own. Yeah.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.